Hey guys, I've been on the road for a couple of days and it has been non-stop Diddy news. We're going to go through all the latest shocking developments. As I've been driving around, I've been listening to Diddy reports come in non-stop. And perhaps some of the most fascinating I have found was the Suge Knight interview, what he was saying about how Diddy was brought into this, indoctrinated into this world, into these secret societies by high-level executives, which he named. And we're going to get to that. And also, later on tonight, I'm going to do another video because there's two theories who was Diddy's Ghislaine Maxwell right now. And we're going to look at both of those theories. I'm going to be back on at 10:30. The other huge story that's been evolving as well is the Justin Bieber thing. And I'm looking at all the news stories coming in, and it's like every hour, bam, 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 we've got a brand new story. So the latest on Justin Bieber that we have got today, let me bring this one up for you guys. So it has come out in the mail. Fears grow for stressed Justin Bieber as he struggles to juggle fatherhood with explosive Diddy allegations. And if we scroll down a little bit, he's desperately trying to shut out the mounting speculation about his relationship with Diddy and focus on being a first-time father. But those close to him are fearful he's becoming increasingly stressed under the pressure. And put one in the chat if you've seen all these videos of Justin when he was a kid, getting the Ferrari, spending 48 hours with Diddy, and how sad this all seems. Put two in the chat if you've not seen these videos. But if you have seen those videos, you can see like the root cause of this guy's woes. There's just something about Bieber whereby you could tell he's been through something. And yeah, nearly all ones in the chat, you guys have seen that. We're hoping that at some point here, he's just going to completely come out with it and reveal what happened, because so many people are just coming out now because others have come out. They're feeling that now is the time. It's kind of giving them the nerve to come forward, because imagine if something that horrible has happened to you, you've buried that inside yourself, and it's something you don't really want to think about. If you're going to go to trial, and there are stories saying Diddy's not going to take a plea bargain, he's going to go to trial. I'm going to get to that one in a minute as well. If you're going to go to trial and testify against this guy and get ripped to shreds by the defense lawyer, I mean, that takes a huge set of cojones to take it that far. All right, so back to Bieber then. The baby hitmaker's formerly close bond with the disgraced rapper has since come under intense scrutiny, with the troubling videos of the 15-year-old Bieber spending 48 hours with Diddy, as well as the pair partying together, resurfacing online. Yeah, just looks really sketchy. Bieber, 30, recently welcomed his son Jack with wife Haley, 27, has still not publicly commented, but fans have voiced fears over his thin appearance. I mean, look at the body language on this guy. You can tell something is troubling his soul. I mean, we've interviewed a lot of survivors on this channel. And there's something in the eyes, you know, they say the eyes are the window to the soul. There's something in the eyes that you can tell there's trauma there, unresolved trauma. So, yeah, he definitely has a thin appearance right there. Sources have told the Mail that the singer feels he has no one to talk to about the Diddy revelations and is sailing these waters alone. That's so sad. There's a artist's impression there of Diddy in the court. So, quote, Justin feels like there is no one that he can talk to that understands And to be honest, he doesn't even fully understand. He was a kid. It's so sad, isn't it, when people get manipulated like this? The glitz, the glamour, they're dazzled by the fame and the wealth of someone like Diddy, and it just provides him, Diddy, the Diddy's of the world, a perfect opportunity to exploit the mind of this young person, however they seem fit, with the diabolical, devious ways. The source added that the fallout comes amid his current struggles to try and be a good parent, having not had the best example from his own father, Jeremy Bieber. Quote, Justin is stressed right now. The insider continued, he has a baby boy and he's trying to be a good dad without having anything to reference what a good father is. Speaking to the fragile singer's emotional state, source added, he is sailing these waters alone, and everyone fears that if Haley shows any struggles with being a first-time mom, then this is going to be incredibly difficult for Justin. Quote, Diddy could not have happened at a worse time, as he is trying to experience the joy of being a father with the pain of having to deal with all of this. So it was August 23rd, Bieber announced the birth of his first child and gave fans a glimpse of the baby's tiny foot and wife Haley's hands. Welcome home, Jack Blues Bieber, the proud dad penned in the caption. The former Victoria's Secret model. I mean, look at that photo there of Diddy. Look how young Justin is. It just makes me feel sick. The former Victoria's Secret model shared the post on Instagram story with the youngster's name and various emojis. Yep, so Bieber was just a child when he came under Diddy's spell. Oh, it's so sad. There's the video, what he looks like in the video with Diddy. Looking like he's looking up to this guy like he's the coolest thing in the world. So this is, you know, Diddy now is accused of inducing female victims and male beep workers into drugged up, sometimes days long performances referred to as freak-offs. So when we've got more time, probably tomorrow, I'm going to start to go over the paperwork that details the allegations regarding the freak-offs. It's going to be very explicit content. I'm going to have to weigh my words very carefully. But I think that's an area we need to look into more. And then tonight at 10:30, so that's 2 hours from now, I'm going to do another live stream about who was Diddy's Ghislaine Maxwell, because there's two separate theories about that right now. It's going to be interesting. I'm going to get to some Shug Knight stuff next as well. There's about a dozen stories that have come out in the last 24 hours. So I'm going to try and get as much of that as possible into this 1 hour live stream. We've still got 50 minutes left. So yeah, freak-offs lasted for days, requiring Diddy and victims to receive IV fluids to recover from the exertion and the substance use. Of course, Diddy's pleading not guilty. He's saying all these allegations are unfounded. And we're going to get to the article about him saying he's not going to sign a plea bargain. Coombs' lawyer, Mark Agnifilio, said the freak-offs stemmed from the star's former on-again, off-again relationship with Cassie and were not coercive. Cassie, of course, the lawsuit came out, settled the next day, but it got the ball rolling. Prosecutors said they had interviewed more than 50 victims and witnesses and are expecting the number to grow. Justin Bieber was just a child when he started this friendship with Diddy, and the singer most recently featured on the rapper's track Moment, which appeared on his 2023 album, The Love Album, Off the Grid. Following the album's release last October, Bieber reflected on his first encounter with Diddy. Quote, I remember going to my brother Diddy's office to pitch him a song I wrote for him when I was like 14. This is off his Instagram. Sadly, the song was trash, and it would be a hard no from him. Fast forward to a few years ago, Puff asked if I would freestyle something for his upcoming Love album. Wild full circle moment. Love you, Diddy. Oh, yeah. And tomorrow we've got Tommy back. Tommy was with us on Sunday. He's been in the federal prison for 15 years, I think it was, bank robbery. And he laid out last week on Sunday night exactly what Diddy would be going through. We didn't finish all the questions with Tommy. So he's going to come back on to finish the questions and discuss all the latest developments in the Diddy case. So that is going to be coming tomorrow night at 9 o'clock UK time, I believe. There's more footage of the Diddy videos there. All right. So, and inside the reveal to the Mail that Justin Bieber deeply regrets having collaborated with Diddy last year and would never have done so had he known about the allegations that have since come to light. They continued, he had a long break from Diddy when he believes most of this took place and he had distanced himself from him. He was featured on Diddy's most recent album, and had he known any of this, there's no way that he would have done it. So in March, old clips of Bieber and Diddy resurfaced shortly after Homeland Security raided Diddy's properties in Miami and Los Angeles. One video saw Diddy standing next to Bieber, age 15, while telling the camera, he's having 48 hours with Diddy. Were we hanging out and what we're doing, we can't really disclose. It's like that hiding in plain sight thing, isn't it? Exactly what Jimmy Savile did. Cracking the jokes. I'm banned from all the schools in England. Blah, blah, blah. Schoolgirls aren't safe around me. Blah, blah, blah. Just laughing in everybody's faces. But it's definitely a 15-year-old's dream. Wow. Diddy added, I have been given custody of him. He signed to Usher, and I had legal guardianship of Usher when he did his first album. I don't have legal guardianship of him, Bieber, but for the next 48 hours, he's with me, and we're going to go full crazy. Yeah, so Bieber was wearing his black baseball cap, purple shirt, was smiling, looking up at Diddy throughout the video, making small comments such as, yeah, and full crazy. Just lapping it up, not realizing, I don't think, that the danger he was in. The video was posted to social media and triggered an outpouring of criticism and concern. Absolutely. Another resurfaced clip saw Diddy grilling 16-year-old Bieber and why he hadn't been speaking to him as much. What's up, man? You good? Selling out arenas and everything? Diddy asked. Starting to act different, huh? You haven't been calling me and hanging out the way we used to hang out. Well, perhaps he wanted to protect himself from the danger he realized he was getting in with this monster. Justin appeared anxious as he responded to his colleague. I mean, you tried to get in contact with me throughout all my and whatnot, but you never got my number. I'm going to tell you my number. I mean, just look at that face right there. That reeks to me of trauma from a young age. Really sad. Another insider previously told the Mail that Bieber has been completely thrown by the harrowing allegations and he's grappling to make sense of them, especially given that he collaborated with Diddy less than a year ago. Bieber is so disturbed by the Diddy news and is unwilling to process it or discuss it, so he has shut off. So many people who helped to make him who he is were very close to Diddy and it's completely thrown him. Justin hasn't been responding on this since the home raids. He's not going to. So, yeah, so if you've just tuned in, we've got over 1,000 right now watching across all the platforms. I've been on the road for a couple of days. I did a schools talk up in Leeds, 5-hour drive. Went over to Liverpool, filmed a couple of podcasts. One guy who's never had his story out before, Charlie Seeger, old school, like kind of like the godfather of Liverpool in terms of gangsters, and a smuggler as well, like a Howard Marks character who ended up in prison in South Africa. So I drove straight home after those today, another 4-hour journey after having dinner with my parents. And as I'm driving around, I'm listening to all this Diddy news, trying to absorb what is the most pertinent to go over right now, because there's so much floating around out there. And I found that the Bieber stuff quite compelling, but I'm just waiting for Bieber to come out and say something. But the Suge Knight stuff, because Suge Knight was in the mix with these guys, you know, there was that East Coast, West Coast rivalry when I arrived in America in the 1990s. And we are getting Potash back on, who's going to talk about Diddy, Tupac, the CIA, Kurt Cobain and the CIA. We're getting him back on in early October. When he came on a couple of years ago, people absolutely loved him. And he's going to put all that in the context of what's going on with the Diddy news here. So anyway, let's go over to this Suge Knight article, because I found this some of the most fascinating because of his insight. You know, there's a lot of speculation from people, but Suge Knight, he's had a very unique life. He's in prison. I think he's eligible to get out in about 10 years. I do believe he murdered a guy vehicularly by running the person over. And Suge Knight has got a podcast. He's been quite outspoken. A podcast from prison. Can you believe it? Times have changed. And so here's what he's been saying recently. There's Suge on the left, and these are some of the characters he has been talking about. Suge Knight slammed Jay-Z, Snoop Dogg, and more for being silent and not stepping up after Diddy's recent arrest. Early this month, yep, Diddy was arrested. We know all that stuff, and he is in Brooklyn's Metropolitan Detention Center. We've done, if you go into our Diddy playlist, we've done several videos about the conditions in Brooklyn's Metropolitan Detention Center. Diddy's lawyer was trying to make out it was too rough and cockroach infested and murders and people ending their lives. This is the federal prison system here. Put Diddy in a state remand facility for unsentenced prisoners. The feds have got way more money than the state. The state calls the feds Club Fed. It's the state jails that are really barbaric, like Sheriff Joe Arpaio's jail. And I've spoken extensively about the conditions in there. But when we have Tommy back on tomorrow, we're going to be sharing stories about our own experiences in the context of what Diddy's going through. All right, yep. So Suge Knight spoke to Chris Cuomo on News Nation from prison. He's serving 28 years for a fatal hit and run. And he called out some of the biggest rappers for not denouncing Diddy's behavior. So here's what Suge said. I look at it real plain and simple. Ain't no whistleblower. The facts are there. But right now, I don't care if it's T.I. I don't care if it's Rick Ross. I don't care if it's Jay-Z, Snoop Dogg, The Game. I don't care if it's Drake. Nobody is stepping up. Well, I think 50 Cent is. And we'll have to look more closely at that. Some rappers have commented on his recent... Yeah, here we are. 50 Cent has always spoken against the rap mogul and he's making a documentary. Good on 50 Cent about Diddy and his crimes. You know, Robert Greene is one of my favorite authors, 48 Laws of Power, etc. And he did the 50th Law with 50 Cent. And Robert Greene is a big fan of 50 Cent. Robert Greene is such a thorough researcher. I think it was a two-hour podcast with Robert Greene a few years ago. Check it out on the back catalogue of the channel if you want. But fascinating guy. LL Cool J was asking his opinions on Diddy's arrest while on the red carpet for the Black Market Music Auction Coalition Gala, which he said he has none but feels for his kids. Flavor Flav told Sky News, you know what? I'm going to tell you, when anybody asks me my opinion on Diddy, you know what my opinion is? I have none. I ain't got no answers. But a Diddy question, none. Former Bad Boy signee, Shine, said Diddy destroyed his life after the latter refused to take any responsibility for a December 1999 nightclub shooting that injured three people. During the trial, Shine was sentenced to prison, while Combs was acquitted of all charges, a decision that the current Belize politician has criticized. So, you know, the feds in the legal paperwork are talking about Diddy blowing cars up, setting fire to cars. There's much more to this than the freak-offs and the transportation of people for these acts. there's this huge continual criminal enterprise. So if they can show a pattern of crimes over a number of years, they could throw the book at Diddy by going after him with the same laws that were introduced to put the mafia guys away. In my ecstasy case in Arizona, they used those laws, crime syndicate, continuous criminal enterprise, to try and give me a hell of a big sentence. All right, so Suge Knight also shared his thoughts on Diddy's criminal behavior in his News Nation interview, claiming that the bad boy for life star repeated what was done to him, and many in the music industry knew what was going on. Now, this was a particular part of what Suge Knight is saying that I found fascinating, because he's saying that you get indoctrinated into this world, and then you turn around and you indoctrinate people into this world. There's people at the highest level of the secret societies, music executives, and Suge Knight named various music executives. They bring people like Diddy in. They do these heinous acts to them under the influence of substances and alcohol. They film these acts so they can use it as leverage against them. And then Diddy goes out into the world and he becomes a perpetrator of the exact same initiation that he went through himself. Now, people say, you know, celebrities went to these parties, they're going to get called out, etc. One thing I heard on an interview, it was on Tucker Carlson's channel, I think. And the guy said that it wasn't a case of celebrities going to these parties. It was a case of, if you went to these parties, you could become a celebrity, or you could increase your celebrity ranking. So what Diddy did was he would ingratiate these people, get them into the mix of the freak-offs, record these activities. I'm just trying to minimize this for the YouTube algorithm. And then use the videos as leverage against them. While the quid pro quo was, they would get contracts. You know, he was promising to people that he would make them stars, etc. And some of these people were so razzle-dazzled by the prospect of going up in the world, you know, they were consenting to get involved in these freak-offs and go through these initiation rituals. I saw on Twitter today, there was actually a photo of a SRA, and you guys know what that, I mean by that, a demonic ritual at a Diddy party. I will try and get that available for when I come back at 10:30 tonight. I'll get that photo on the stream when we are looking at the various theories of who was Diddy's Ghislaine Maxwell. All right, so here's what Suge Knight said, News Nation. Diddy was repeating what was done to him. So this is how they get people initiated, put them out into the world, and then it's like a pyramid scheme. From our research of the Epstein case, Epstein was only a mid-level manager. Look at where his wealth came from. Wexner gave him that house, and Wexner's been untouchable. Look at the amount of money that was transferred to him by various individuals for financial services. Epstein was just a cardboard cutout mid-level manager, and it's going up. You try and go up to find out who the bosses are, but when you get into that murky world of the Clinton crime family, etc., the big powerful players, these are the untouchables that it is impossible to pin anything on, because they control the legal system. There are so many people embedded in the legal system, from the Bush and Clinton crime families, from them being presidents for so many years. They still to this day have power to do whatever they want within the legal system. which is an extremely scary thing, especially for people like Donald Trump. So here's what Shug said. He said that Combs won't have an open and shut case due to his powerful connections. Now, we saw the powerful connections close ranks around Epstein when he first got arrested. But once the legal situation got out of control and they couldn't shut it down, that's when they had to shut him down. And it seems like the legal situation is getting control out for Diddy. So he is at risk of getting suicided. So Shug said he's not a dummy, so he's smart enough to work his magic. On top of that, he's been involved with the FBI for most of his career. Just like the FBI came in with Epstein, took the tapes. We know this. We know we've interviewed one of the cops from the Florida, John Mark Duggan. His colleague, Joseph Ricciardi, died mysteriously. And John Mark Duggan fled to Florida because the bosses took all the evidence. The FBI took the evidence. And it never saw the light of day. So if Diddy's been involved with the FBI for most of his career, they are his protectors to a point. He got powerful people. The FBI will be protecting those powerful people. One of his partners who started his company with drug money, President Obama, got him out of prison. This is what Shug's alleging. So it's not like he don't have no moves. I don't think nobody should just count him out. I don't think he's going to lay down and curl in the corner and die. He's not. He's got various options at this stage with his political connections. Shug commented on the news that Diddy is on suicide watch and is paranoid about being poisoned. Yeah, we discussed that with Tommy extensively last Sunday night, and we will be going over that again in more detail and taking your questions tomorrow night at 9 p.m. UK. Shug continued, I don't want to say he's in danger, and neither should he say that, because once he gets to the point where they feel he's going to be suicidal, you don't have the right to do nothing. No sock, no drawers, no t-shirt, no blankets, no sheets. You're naked in a cell as a crazy man. So he definitely don't want to do that. In one of my videos, I covered that I was playing the system when I was in the federal deportation prison. And I was in a dorm and I wanted my own cell. And the nurse was co-conspiring with me. And she said, I'll put you in a suicide cell. And you know, we'll say that you're hearing voices and stuff. And then you'll get your own cell. So I got my own taste of the suicide cell. I know what it's like. There's nothing in there at all you can hang yourself with. You stripped out. I was just in my boxers and they're watching you. You know, every so often they come and check on you. And once I got through that bit, then I did manage to get my own cell. There's nothing like your own cell. So last November, Diddy's former girlfriend and label signee Cassie filed the first in a series of beep abuse lawsuits against him, which was settled the next day, but they opened the floodgates. Rodney Lil Rod Jones, producer and contributor for Combs' latest album, the Love album Off the Grid, filed his own case against Diddy, claiming that he drugged him, forced him to have sex with beep workers, and held parties where underage girls and beep workers were present. The lawsuit is still ongoing, and Diddy denied the allegation. So, you know, if underage are involved in this and you are in the prison system, it's KOS, kill on sight, by the prison gangs. So he's got a target on his back. The allegations of it can get you killed, but if there's a conviction, then the threat rises to him. All right, so two more women press charges. And we had Danity Kane and Diddy Dirty Money member Dawn Richards said Diddy had essayed her, deprived her of food and sleep, and refused to pay her adequately. She also stated that she witnessed Diddy abuse Ventura. Of course, Diddy is maintaining his innocence and denying these claims. And then 2 weeks later, a woman came forward and said Diddy and his bodyguard drugged, R-worded her, and filmed the incident in 2001. Thalia Graves claims she had suffered from depression, anxiety, panic attacks ever since. And did he continue to deny her claim and all of the wrongdoing? All right, so let me just get that off the screen for now. So we're rapidly approaching almost 2,000 watching across all the platforms. Really appreciate you guys tuning in for this coverage, guys. I think particular types of stories resonate on this channel. You know, with the Jeffrey Epstein story, we had 60 million views on that before YouTube shut us down and terminated the channel twice. And it was thanks to you guys lobbying and contacting YouTube that we got the channel back up. So there are many commentators that we got on the Epstein case. I'm seeing them pop up now and comment on the Diddy case. We've got Ryan Dawson hopefully scheduled for this week. We've got Nick Bryant. I'm going to reach out to him after this stream, try and get him on. He wrote a book about the Franklin scandal. Franklin scandal, the only people who went to prison were the survivors. The feds protected all the higher-ups. You know, it went all the way to the White House, and they scared the life out of the survivors, and they said, if anyone speaks, we're gonna get you up in court and put you in prison. And they did. They put people in prison for really long sentences. So I'm going to reach out to Nick Bryant. Ryan Dawson said he'll come on this week. I'll reach out to Whitney Webb. But there's a slew. There's the lawyers as well. Emily Baker, etc. We'll reach out to the lawyers. And then there's the Sykes. We've got Dr. Spellman and we've got Dr. Shaham Das. I've reached out to both of them. So we will get those on. And thanks for all the new subscribers and thanks for sharing these videos. All right, moving on to the next story then. There is an absolute slew of them. And some of these stories now that I'm going to get into, graphic content warning, are detailing some of the things that were seen at these parties. So here's one that's just come out in the last day. Let's get it up. So we have got what I saw when I walked into the VIP only inner sanctum of one of Diddy's sordid drug-fueled parties in the Hollywood Hills. And this is from insider Alison Boshoff. So let's see. Whoops, it's not giving me that one. Saying subscribe to the mail to continue reading. Right, let me find out if I can. Wonder what's happened there. I had to open earlier. Let's see if I can get this up real quick. There it is. We got it. All right. Say what you like. Oh, nope, it's gone again. All right, let's get rid of that one. Let's go over to Kim Porter's father warning. Bring this one up. I'll try. When I come back on about the Maxwell stuff later on, I will get that one open and I will get it back up for you guys. So when we talked with Chris Todd last week, which was another one of the videos that went viral, Chris Todd, he's one of the authors of the Kim Porter book that's just come out. Now, Kim Porter's dad has weighed in. So let's bring this one up for you guys. So Kim Porter's father breaks silence and issues forewarning to Diddy amid rumors about his daughter's death and music mogul. Some people are calling for Kim Porter's corpse to be exhumed and for there to be another examination of the body to see what truly happened, because this pneumonia thing, in light of the allegations against Diddy, now seems extremely suspicious. So this has just come out today, talking exclusively to the Mail from his home in Georgia. Jake Porter, who is now 78, said, "The truth will come out. It always does in the end." There was a time when Porter and his family regarded Diddy as Kim's soulmate. You know, I know Tommy's read the book. We've got Tommy on tomorrow night. And the book went to number one on Amazon bestsellers. Put a one in the chat if you've read this Kim's Last Words books, Lost Words book that Chris Todd was behind. So he eulogized that her her at her funeral in her hometown of Columbus, Georgia, following her death in November 28, wept at her grave and held hands with her father as the two men supported each other in grief. So see, Angel's read it. See a couple of twos coming in. So here is the father of Kim Porter. Can't imagine what must be going through his mind right now. Yeah, a few people are putting in the chat they want to read the book. So there is a picture of Diddy and Kim. They had a 13-year-old off and on again relationship. Today, it is clear that Porter's feelings for Diddy are complicated, as father's struggling to absorb the magnitude of the indictment brought against Diddy, in which he's accused of all these heinous crimes. Porter declined to comment on the latest charges beyond saying he was aware of them from the news, but he told the Mail, "When I saw the video of what he did to Cassie, I was disgusted." And it is an abomination. And to think that he could just come out and do an apology video and suffer no legal consequences. It's like there's one tier of justice for people with no money. And it takes a lot to take someone down that's got the power of Diddy or Epstein. I was disgusted. I don't really have much to say beyond that. Everyone's innocent until proven guilty, I guess, but the truth will come out. Asked if he believed that truth included any new details of his daughter's death amid growing calls for the investigation into it to be reopened, Porter dismissed the previous investigation as a load of crap. So put a one in the chat if you think Kim Porter's body should be exhumed and there should be a new examination. Put a two in the chat if you think she should just be left, laid to rest. He fell short of calling for any new investigation into the cause of the death, which was ruled natural and due to lobar pneumonia. Yeah, it looks like it's unanimously ones. All these people who die mysteriously when they've got inside knowledge of elites at these kinds of ritual parties. Amanda said leave her to rest, but nearly everyone else, it's a one. But another family member who spoke to the Mail yesterday on condition of anonymity was far more forthright, staying, "If she was my daughter, I would be demanding that the investigation be reopened." Same here. I would be pounding my fist. "I remember Kim as a little girl. She was just the sweetest little girl," said the relative. "And I remember how she grew up to be so beautiful and talented. But I saw the change in her when we visited her out in California when she was with him." You know, it doesn't matter what kind of a brave face people try to put on when they're in the mix in these kinds of activities, being forced into these choreographed, acts with beep workers, the male beep workers that Diddy brought in, that went on for days on end, and she was being forced to participate in these acts while he sat in the corner of the room jacking off, and then he's filming them and using them as leverage. You can't hide that in your eyes. And it's the same in Justin Bieber's eyes, as we showed it earlier in the stream. Quote, "She was changed. Something wasn't right. Now I feel in my spirit he's guilty, but justice will have to take its course." Yeah, there's Diddy eulogizing her at her funeral in her hometown. And like I think I said earlier on in this series of streams about Griselda Blanco, she would assassinate people and she would go and eulogize at their funerals and she would cry the loudest. These psychopaths, these sickos. Oh, there's a picture. Look at that picture there. That's such a shame, isn't it? Such a shame. These psychopaths, they will go and to the family members, they have no shame, and offer their sympathies when they've played a role or they've ordered somehow that these people meet an early grave. That is the gravestone, 1970 to 2018, so young. Kim's grave is next to her mother's in the Evergreen Memory Garden Cemetery in Columbus, Georgia. The epitaph reads, "Once upon a time, there was a black goddess, queen, mother, best friend, one of the greatest beings God has ever created. We love her. We miss her forever." You know, she was laid to rest in 2018. I can't imagine what the daddy's going through now with all this just plastered all over the news. It's inescapable. The family members' words show that not all of Kim's family share her children's recently expressed desire to silence all speculation regarding Diddy's treatment of their mother and father. Three of the rapper's children posted a joint statement addressing the rumors on Instagram on Tuesday night. The lengthy and heartfelt message was signed off by Diddy's three children, with Kim, Christian, 26, and twins Jesse and Delilah, 17, along with her older son, Quincy, 33. Quincy is Kim's son with singer XAIB, sure, but was adopted by Diddy during his relationship with Kim, which was an on-off affair for 13 years between 1994 and 2007. In their statement, Kim's kids wrote that they have seen so many hurtful and false rumors circulating about our parents, Kim Porter and Sean Combs' relationship, as well as about our mom's tragic passing, that we feel the need to speak out. Their brains must be absolutely shattered. They recalled how shattered they were by her death, but stated that despite their difficulty in reconciling themselves with that awful event, the cause of her death has long been established. There was no foul play. I mean, you're going to convince yourself that, aren't you? If you are a child and these allegations have come against your dad, it's beyond your comprehension that something else could have happened. It's just your mind would just explode if it was confirmed that that was true. You would just find reasons to not believe it. They also pushed back at claims that Kim had written the basis of a new book, stating that anyone claiming to have a manuscript and be her friend is misrepresenting themselves. So that's Kim's lost words. That's the book right there. If you missed our interview with Chris Todd, one of the guys behind this book, we were getting him on to talk about Kurt Cobain when all this news blew up. So he did open the interview talking about his insight and what Kim said. Go back over the back catalog. Actually, I'll put it in the description box below this video. Check it out. And I hope you guys by now have watched the Jonathan Odie Police interview, where he's talking about the secret society initiation ritual stuff. He was a beep slave of Diddy, and he's talking about the black secret society, etc. So, allegedly based on a thumb drive containing extracts from Kim's journals, the book details disturbing accounts of Diddy slapping her after losing his temper and even making death threats. We know he was a violent, crazy guy, just from the video that was captured of him in the hotel. In it, Kim allegedly recounts discovering and making copies of Diddy's beep tapes made of himself with young boys he was managing, including an alleged tape involving an 18-year-old pop star who went on to become a household name. The final entry of the memoirs, Kim falling ill, dramatically texting her friends, "He got me," and then calling 911. Chris Todd said that about its authenticity. He received the thumb drive from two music industry sources. And the kids are asking everyone respect their mother, Kim Porter. Hold her legacy in high regard so that she may rest in peace. We love and miss you, mummy. So Erica Wolf, an attorney for the Porter family, said to the Mail that the diary is fake and offensive. Chris Todd has no respect, blah, blah, blah. So that's the rebuttal to that. On Monday, Kim's ex, AIB Shaw, joined the growing swell of people demanding an investigation into the work. Blah, blah, blah. Let's go down here. All right, so we're going to move off this story now and go on to the next one. Let me just stop sharing that. We've got the What I Saw. We've got Inside the Seedy Bathhouse. What happened inside the Seedy Bathhouse that Diddy visited? And again, graphic content warning as we get into this one. Got 10 minutes left before Ron comes on. So I'm just trying to get through these articles as fast as possible. Ron is going to do another hour of Diddy. And then I'm going to come back and we're going to look at the theories of who was Diddy's Maxwell. So inside the Seedy Bathhouse that Diddy visited three times a week. This has just come out a few hours ago here in the UK. A staff revealed his favorite treatment on a dimly lit street in the grungy East Village. Sits a New York institution where on any given day, sheepish, lovelorn men seeking connections stream through the door. Within the entrance of the Turkish and Russian bath on East 10th Street hangs a photograph of a very well-known face, i.e. Diddy. His face slightly hidden beneath a baseball hat posing with a friend. It was taken during one of the many visits, owners say, the rapper made throughout the course of the 90s when he was at the height of his game as the king of hip-hop. And that versus now, he's sitting in the detention center, not eating his food because he thinks he's going to get poisoned. The unassuming three-story townhouse is a destination for locals and celebrities alike. Since its founding a century and a half ago. Since 1892, what? 1892? Men and women have flocked to the legendary bathhouse for its benefits health-wise to scrub, steam, relax, and rejuvenate. Many visiting innocently looking for a place to rinse off the city after a hard day's work. But for a Diddy, of course, the allure was deeper. According to the bodyguard Gene Deal, who claims Diddy visited to cruise for male partners. So there's all these allegations that Diddy was participating in acts with male beep workers, etc. And that he may have done stuff to young people who were aspiring to become stars, male as well as female. So on a recent rainy afternoon in September, the male visited the notorious bathhouse. Alongside Diddy's picture, those of other famous patrons, John F. Kennedy Jr., Danny DeVito, LL Cool J, Lee Scribner, Matthew McConaughey, Hugh Jackman, and Russian MMA fighter Igor Zinoviev. There's pictures of the bathhouse. It looks like what it looks like. So by 11:30 a.m., a line of men was already waiting for the doors to open, ready to enjoy the men-only session that runs from noon until 5 p.m. Men of various ages, professions, demographics, newcomers, veterans, some fit and muscular, others well-fed with generous bellies. By 2 p.m., nearly 100 men had streamed through the basement of the bathhouse, wrapped in small loincloths, others completely naked. Many were there for nothing more than esteem, but others quickly got frisky. When the men weren't taking a dip in the heated freshwater pool or using the steam and sauna rooms, they indulged in the therapeutic treatments, mud and salt scrubs, shiatsu massages, or the trademark Platzer Oakleaf. According to some staff members, that was one of Diddy's favorite treatments. There's the cold plunge pool. There's one of the steam rooms. And there's the outdoor. I'm going to get to Danny DeVito in a minute. Just jump down a little bit. The outdoor area. John F. Kennedy was in there as well. Right, let's be just trying this a bit slower. Let's jump in. Matthew McConaughey in there. Oh, I love Matthew McConaughey movies. What was it? Dallas Buyers Club is one of my favorite movies. So in a video interview with the Art of Dialogue, Diddy's spoke about Diddy's trips to the Russian and Turkish baths months before he was arrested for running the criminal enterprise. Deal claimed Diddy would secretly meet up with gay men in the steam rooms, sometimes three times a week. So you heard the rumors. I used to wait outside the Turkish baths for him, Deal told the producer. That's where a lot of gay men meet and all take hot baths together. So that is why, you know, twice, sometimes three times a week, me and the driver would be outside. He'd run into the Turkish bath. You've got that big ass tub at home, but you want to come here? He laughed. There's Kennedy, one of the clients. There's Matthew McConaughey. Put one in the chat if you love the Dallas Buyers Club movie. There's DeVito with friends. There's the Blues Brothers. So Diddy has never addressed these claims. The bodyguard spoke about some of other Diddy escapades, recalling one of the trips to an exotic bookstore. The bath is not only for male patrons. There are designated times for women only and co-ed couple times when the men have to be dressed in shorts. The bath offers yearly and monthly memberships, or just one day passes starting at 60. Walk-ins are also welcome. So obviously, Diddy's days are going there over. Now he's at the Brooklyn Notorious Metropolitan Detention Center. He's not going to be having hookups with guys off at these bathhouses. So the next story up, we are running out of minutes. The next story up is Diddy eating off naked women at a party attended by Will Smith. So let me see if I can get through this one within the few minutes we've got left. We've got, and Ron's going to do another hour on Diddy. Oh, thanks for the super chat, Moonlit Cafe. Ron's going to do another hour on Diddy when I finish, and then I'm going to come right back when Ron finishes with the theories about who is Diddy's Ghislaine Maxwell. And I've written a book, Who Killed Epstein, Prince Andrew or Bill Clinton. And we get into fine detail about Maxwell's connections with the Clinton crime family. Probably what got her a pass, got her to, you know, Maxwell's she's in a federal prison where they do yoga in Florida. And I think she'll get out early with some bribery to a high court appeals judge or something. All right, so Diddy ate off naked women at a debauched Miami party attended by Will Smith and Owen Wilson in resurfaced 2004 photos. In the images, Diddy was 34 at the time, is seen enjoying a chocolate-covered strawberry from a nude woman who is seen serving as the centerpiece of a food platter. The bash was attended by Will Smith, Diana Ross, Owen Wilson, and Bruce Willis. There's one of the photos. You can see the woman's, let's say her upper glands are blanked out in this picture. This is at the 2004 party. And again, in the images, he is seen enjoying the chocolate-covered strawberry from the naked woman. The guests in the resurfaced photos are completely unfazed, casually nibbling on their food, while the nude woman remains in place. The woman on the table is surrounded by fruit for the partygoers and a single green leaf strategically placed over her private parts. Diddy wore an all-white outfit and was seen grabbing a strawberry and eating it while standing next to the nude woman. A-listers were known to attend many of the parties. Leonardo DiCaprio distancing himself presently after a picture of him at one of the white parties emerged. A source close to DiCaprio said DiCaprio hadn't anything to do with Diddy for years. Other stars, Kim Kardashian, Paris Hilton, Mariah Carey. And we're looking at, let's see, here's the lady again with the completely on, you know, you can see that people are completely unfazed and cackling around the naked lady with her eating the food off. Here we go. Women just casually. It's like, you can't get that. That is the personification of objectification of a woman right there. She is basically just a piece of furniture to these people who've got enough money to pay someone to just sit there like a piece of furniture and be completely humiliated while these others just nibble food around them as if they're not even a human being. It's disgusting. There we can see at the bash celebrities. Will Smith, Diana Ross, Owen Wilson, Bruce Willis. Wilson pictured mingling at the bash. This is where they've got the woman laid out. Bruce sipping on a drink next to Diddy and Will. Diana Ross in the mix. Where is she? Let's go back up. There we go. Grabbing a strawberry and eating it. I'll stand next to the nude woman. There's more pictures. More pictures. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Will mingling inside. Will cozying up to Diddy. Diddy joking about inviting William and Harry to debauch parties in that video. We will be doing more about the royal family connection to this stuff. All white outfits, grabbing a strawberry and eating it. More pictures from the party. Let's see what else we got now. There's that video. Yeah, we know, you know, I'm gonna get the indictment so we can get into the details about the 1,000 bottles of baby oil, the 500 dildos, etc. Get more into the details of the allegations, the nitty-gritty. We did go extensively over the paperwork, the allegations in the Epstein case, you know, the schoolgirls that were receiving flowers. There was a pyramid scheme at the school in Florida where Epstein, he had girls coming over, offering them hundreds of dollars to do the massages. Some of the girls were doing it. Some of the girls wouldn't do it. So he ordained those girls to find other girls in the school in Florida to bring girls to his house, and they would get finder's fees. So he had this pyramid scheme, and he was so brazen, he was sending flowers to the girls at the school. So brazen about doing it. So tomorrow night, we've got Tommy back. There was tons of questions asked in the chat. I've not been able to do any questions tonight. I wanted to get through the news as fast as possible. There's still loads more stories coming out. Put all the questions to me and Tommy tomorrow night. We're going to have a long chat with him again. Ron's coming in now, and then I'm going to be back in an hour looking at the theories of who was Diddy's Glenn Maxwell. Over 700 sex toys. All right. Thanks for that in the chat, the correction.